we're up to page Kuf Yudalit. Kuf Yudal Halacha Chav Gimel. Salting, marinating food. I have here actually, a Shabbos kitchen. I really need to go through this much better. To go through all the modern applications of these halachas. And let's just run through at least page or two of this. Halach page kuf yudal halach kaf gimel to simin pei ein lemloach biyachad harei poilin v'kidnios mevusholis ki hamalicha mayeles lahen l'rachan. A person is not allowed to salt many beans and peas, different types of beans that are cooked, because by salting them, page kuf yudal, by salting them, it caused them to become soft. Even if you want to salt these things to eat it immediately, it is asr. This is part of the toilada in Isser, the Rabbanon of salting, of ibud, with regard to food. Even in that Torah, the only time it's asr to eat a lot of salt is when it comes to hides, leather hides. Chazal extended the gezerah not to salt leather hides by prohibiting one from salting, eating large amounts of salt to food, to change the quality of the food, to preserve the food, to cause the food to soften, whatever the situation is. Because if a person is going to salt food, he will very easily go with salt hides. Even though today none of us have in our basement hides, we wouldn't tolerate the smell of this stuff in our, and the government will come and shut us down in 2 minutes. Nevertheless, this takanas still remain in force. And halacha lemaisa, basically the way he presents in the Shabbos kitchen is he's very machmir. He basically says you're not allowed to add, like it says, you're not allowed to add large amounts of salt to vegetables. Even if you're serving it in some situation, even if you're serving it at the meal itself, you only can salt one slice at a time right before you eat. If a person likes a lot of salt on a vegetable, or you're not supposed to add a lot of salt in advance for a previous meal, that's for sure, from one meal to the next. Even before the meal it begins, also it's not ideal to eat a lot of salt. The best thing was to put the salt on the table and let the people sitting at the meal, let them salt each individual slice one at a time right before they put it in their mouth. We learned, however, it's not so simple, because we learned in the Shad, and he has a lot of coolness in the Shad, we learned last week that he quotes from one of the poskim that the prohibition of salting is only when you're dealing with complete vegetables, a complete cucumber, a complete pickle, something like that. Once something has been sliced and you've exposed the flesh of a vegetable, then there is no prohibition. The Isser Drabon of Ibud goes away. Okay, he doesn't really seem to say that Shabbos kitchen, he appears to be pretty machmir, eating large amounts of salt. Some people like a lot of salt. Like they had it recently in the news. They had everything always changes. They had in the news recently that the doctor's always telling everyone stay away from salt. No salt, no salt. And now I read last week they're questioning if it's really necessary. It's dvar b'tehil. What's so terrible if there would be salt? It's amazing. Everything changes. Nothing, whatever. First they say eggs are no good. Now eggs are good. They're no good. Whatever. Then they say it's no good. Now they come back and they're saying no, it is good to eat eggs. They have done studies. All right, listen. Every day. Shemer pesayim Hashem. Hashem guards the fools. Okay, so whatever it is, it is. Let's go halacha of dal. Salad. Salad is lettuce, correct? And gurkhan. You know what gurkhan is? I don't know. Cucumbers. V'chein shamine tibulim shaysim mishaysim mibitzalim, which they make from onions. Uchadoymeh. So these three things, lettuce, cucumbers, and onions. Mutu l'molcham samuch l'su'udah, you're allowed to salt them samuch right before the meal. L'shakevim shenaysim l'suchim miyad shem. The reason why they are different is because it's not just salt. You're also adding oil. L'chaim is in vinegar. Machalish n'koyach ha-melch, it dilutes the koyach, the potency of the salt, so the salt does not really have its full strength. And that is not similar to ibud, to tanning hides per it. Av'los l'molcham l'ashoysim ezizma, but you're still not allowed to salt these things. It's salt he make this cucumber salad, whatever it is, and put it away for a prolonged period of time. Halacha of hey, isser, now we go to Nakana. Halacha of boine. You're not allowed to knead. Make, this is very common when it comes to making baby cereal. This cereal, that's what have, the book is all about, these different types of making different, taking powder. And making some type of mashed potatoes or any paste, any type of dish that is a thick consistency is also to do on Shabbos. Why? What is the prohibition? What category does it fall under? Boine. It falls in the category of boine, of building. It's like you're making clay. You're making cement. Lisha. That's also lisha. Okay, you're right. That's, I'm sorry. I'm confusing. You're right. I'm sorry. Here is boine dealing with cheese. Jumping ahead. Here is making cheese. Let's see. Isser boine shayach gam b'machol. Isser boine shayach b'machol. Going to magabit givin a person that makes cheese on Shabbos. You put the milk. You add the rennet, a special ingredient, into milk in order to cause the milk to curdle to make cheese. Oish medabek peros samashra some shiyofin. Or you take dried fruit, and you stick them together in a press so that they should cleave, they should be stuck together. So when you connect two solids together, that is called, when you separate one part from another, or you connect two things together, that is a tolod of binyan. What is binyan? Binyan is when you have something on the ground and you remove a clump of earth. Removing a clump of earth, you're separating something from its source. Or if you take two items, two pieces of wood, and you bang them together, you're connecting something to the ground, you put something into the ground. So taking two things and connecting them permanently, or taking two things that were in the past connected and separating them, is the Isser Derais of Boine. When it comes to food, when you separate and you cause to remove the different parts of milk to produce cheese, you separate the creamy substance from the liquid substance in milk, that is a form of boine. You're separating the various components of the milk, or taking dried fruit and gluing them together, taking the apricots or whatever and crushing them and pressing them together where now they can be permanently attached, that is a form of boine. Shemadabek peros and mirasho is some shiyu yofin. Therefore, kishachaitim mitzalim im beitzim, when a person you chop eggs with onions, oy im chelev dag muluach, the fat of fish, yesh the zoyer, shalil hashvesim liafesim. If you're going to make a paste, you're also coming to connect, you're coming to bring together different things, you're taking different items, you're taking onions, and you're taking eggs, and now these two things are becoming one. The example I gave you of leash shows when you're taking powder, that's leash, that's kneading, that's like taking flour and adding water, that's a different category. But here you're taking two different items, onions being taken together with eggs, and you're joining them together into one item, that is a toilada of boina. It's only midrash. Rabbanan, it applies to food. You should not go and make them, even it out and make them beautiful. Just mix them together, a loose mixture where they're not glued together, where they're not meshed together, is not going to be in the melacha, that is going to be mutter. Halacha. Eggs and onions, as long as it should be loose, a loose mixture.
They put in mayonnaise,
but it has to be. It seems it has to be. Okay, we'll have to go. Okay, I'm not sure. I have to look into this more. Okay, let's go. Let's go next. Now he's discussing cleaning dishes. Okay, this is a big topic. This topic that we're coming to now is a big topic, which all the modern examples below Belina there. He has 2-3 chapters on this. We'll go over the modern applications maybe tomorrow. But let's just first go to the Yesodos about cleaning dishes. When the meal is over, how does one go about cleaning up? So the first thing he says, if you have water in a kettle, hot water in a kli rishon, you're not allowed to use hot water from a kli rishon to clean the dishes, because simply it's special. When the water is poured from a kettle, which the kli rishon, upon the leftovers on the dishes, you are cooking any leftover residue on the dishes. So if a person wants to use hot water from the kettle, you have to first transfer from the kli rishon into a kli sheni. Kishemadichin kelim b'mayim reischin, when a person, when he rinses kelim with boiling hot water, lo ya'ar ha'mayim ala kelim, you should not pour water from the kettle
directly on the kelim. You should first pour the water into one utensil, and from the first utensil you pour into, then you can pour into the second, because that's going to be already kli sheni. You could either put the kelim inside of it, it's a kli sheni, or you can actually pour because it's no longer is din of iri. Now he talks about schil, we had this last week. You should not rinse it with a mapa, because you're going to come to squeeze the mapa, and that's schita, and that's also libo, and you'll be cleaning the mapa in the process. Lo yidichim the mapa mishum isra schita. El madichim the smartu the shmata hamayuchu lekach she'enoi makbid alav lesachtoi gamuchovet. You don't care to squeeze it even during the week like a paper towel. Paper towel is mutter to wipe the dishes. Uchshemadiach kli zchuchis lo yidichim mishibol leshaol. They would use in ancient times, not so ancient, oats. Why? Because you would come to squeeze the oats, because that was customary, that when you take oats and has those furry edges, it would get soft, and when it gets soft you would squeeze it, and you would come to over the issur of schita by squeezing out the water from the fibers of the oats. Which is a big topic, which is not for now, but basically you're not allowed to wash dishes on Shabbos unless you need them for the next meal. And let's say it's Shabbos morning and you need it for Shalosh Shudas. It's a long summer day, Shabbos is not over until 9:30, whatever it is, and you need it for the next for Shalosh Sudos, then go right ahead, you can clean it. But if you don't need it for Shalosh Sudos, you're eating out, you're not allowed to clean the dishes. They have to remain in the sink or in the dishwasher the way they are for the remainder of Shabbos. Let's say the air conditioner is not working in the kitchen and it's hot, and by leaving the dishes in the sink, it's going to bring insects, mosquitoes and insects, and there's going to be a foul odor. It's a small room. Then it's a graf shel rei, and then you are allowed to clean the dishes Shabbos. Or you can at least make some type of a kinunya. You'll decide that you're going to use the dishes later for shalosh sudos. I'm going to have some type of snack in the afternoon, and I need to use these dishes. I want to use this. So then that's also a heter to clean the dishes. It's not so similar because a person has other dishes. It's not that a person has a set of 16 plates and you only use two, and now you want to go use, and now you want to use four. What you say?
And you only broke four,
and you want to use these two dishes for later on in the day. It's not so simple. He talks about that over here, and he says it's a very shvach heter to say that because you want to use these two dishes for shalosh shudos, I'm going to clean these two dishes. When you have on the rack, when you have in the cabinet another 10 of them, it's not so simple. The best thing is, like, if people have dishwashers, so you don't see it, you just put it in the dishwasher and you close it, and that's it, and it's concealed. But if it's going to be remain visible on the sink, and it's not a pleasant thing to see, and it's going to bring rodents and insects, so then there is a heter to clean the dishes on Shabbos bo bayom. Okay.
What you can do is cold water. Just take away the nausea.
Yes, that you can do, because that's graph. Right.
Just that it shouldn't be nausea.
It should be nausea, correct. Right there. That's for sure. Right. You can throw out. It should not be graph shell. Anything which is graph shell ray, which is like you got to clean the table. You don't have to have the table with all the crumbs and all the garbage. It should not be an eyesore. It should not be so having all the. I just you allow to empty out and clean up all the large particles. Okay, so you only got to clean. Only to clean that which you need actually for Shabbos. Let's see on the bottom halach yudal. The osla dicham. He talks about. He goes off the topic. He talks about kashering food on Shabbos. In other words, we're kashering a knife. Let's see what he says. The osla diach kelim. I'm proving megadim. Yeah.
I heard there's a hetter if your wife is upset by dirty dishes. If it really
you have to train yourself not to be upset. It's washing dishes. Okay.
My wife told me to stand.
Place the dishes.
Just cover them over with a schmatter and finish.
Okay, he's not very generous here. He has a tendency to be machmir. He has a tendency to be machmir. Rabbi Silberman Cohen. No, he's not always machmer. I wouldn't say always. He has a little bit, he's leaning to be machmer. He's not so machmer. The only exemptions he says is, here I'm reading over here, even dish which are no longer needed may be washed on Shabbos to alleviate discomfort. And what does that mean? For example, one is permitted to wash dishes which give off a foul odor or which might attract roaches. In such a case, the dishes are not being washed in preparation for Mitzvah Shabbos, but rather in honor of the Shabbos itself. Okay, so all he says is odor and insects. Another exemption applies to silver utensils and other similar dishes which are made of acid-sensitive materials. If you don't wash it, they're going to get ruined. Okay, if you let the schmaltz remain on the dishes for the remainder of Shabbos, such utensils may be soaked in water to prevent them from being permanently stained. That's all he says. Those are the only exemptions he makes. So, discomfort. Okay. I gotta go look in Riviat. Riviat is more makel. Riviat definitely has more coolness than Simcha Bunim Kohn. I have a lot of, you know, we have the Debret Sina. I have these old Svarim. My father became rough 30 years ago, more. They didn't have this yet. So they had these blue small books sucking from the Debret Sina. A lot of very big coolers. Good. Everything was footnotes. Fascinating coolers. Anything you need a cooler for, you can find there. I have to dig those up. What?
Bermosh?
Yeah, the Bermosh. This is in English. Someone took all this Pisgah Halach, all the common modern shilas that people had at home, and a lot of the coolest there are much greater than the coolest. And then this came to town. This is a big hit. It still is a big hit. It's a big hit. Yeah, this is the Bible, the Shabbos kitchen. It's very, very good. It's very good. What? Non-flabush? Then swear. Riviat. Rabbi Riviat. They have him here, Rabbi Riviat Svarim? 4 volumes. He goes to Lamates Melachas. The four volumes. I'm sure it's there somewhere. That's also became a classic. That definitely has much greater leniencies. Okay, we'll have to check into it. Okay, the 39 Melachas, the Lamites Melachas. It's a great 4 volumes, thick volumes. Each volume, half of the volume of footnotes, and then the other half is a lot of illustrations. Okay, let's go. Let's see if you're on the bottom. He talks about interesting Shiloh. Interesting Shiloh about Kashering Caleb on Shabbos. The Asla Dichan La Caleb. I remember the Godim, the Sakin Treif of Reitzel Lachtech Belechen. Let's say you have at home a knife, a treif knife, and you want to use it to cut bread. What's the halacha? How do you kasher a knife? You thrust into the ground 10 times. Uh-huh. Right, that's learning. Are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? Are you allowed? You're telling me making a guma. You're not having kavan. You're not having kavan to make a guma in the ground. Are you allowed? But you're misaking. You're making a tikkun, but it's not a real tikkun. Is that called a tikkun? That's what he says. The also the tzakin treif of roitzel lachtech b'lechem deboy hadacha v'shivshuf. You require. He's not. He's. A sock in the bottom, you down on the bottom. The boy hadacha v'shishus. Now here, what you want is rinse it in the sink. You don't want to thrust in the ground. But instead of thrusting in the ground, there's an alternative means. If you want, you only have to thrust in the ground. You want to use it for hat. But if you're not using it for hat, you're just using it to cut bread. All you need to do is to rinse it for cold. A knife is a regular utensil. That's cold. You don't even need to do that because there's no chufa de sakina. There's no prayer. Duchka de sakina. When it comes to a knife, being that you're cutting bread, the pressure of slicing the bread can possibly impart some of the tarfus in the knife onto the bread. So you at least have to rub it. You have to rinse it thoroughly. And the shifshuf. And you have to rub the blade with some type of shmata on Shabbos to make sure you remove any small amount of residue. Aser la soisei b'Shabbos. So he passes that this is called the tikkun mana. You mean masaking, you fix something, and you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. V'sham therefore nistapik b'davish nesem b'klifa. Another shiloh. Let's say you have a piece of food. You have a piece of meat. And the piece of meat requires, it was cooked together, we came in contact, it made contact with something which is not kosher, and according to the rules of Shulchan Aruch, you have to peel just the perimeter. You have to remove a slice of the meat before you can eat the remainder. Are you allowed to do klifa, to pull off the perimeter, the end of the meat on Shabbos? Imut l'kavu b'Shabbos. So what is the shahalach? Are you allowed to do it? So how does he pass? Why does he pass in the prima gadim? Or mechalek shambein shaklifa nesa medina diyazos l'kavu v'nesa machmas chumra mut l'kavu. So it's a very beautiful yisoid. This yisoid you hear, and I have other applications. I don't have an example now, but I'll keep this in mind for later on. Is that when Chazal required you to do something, was it because it's halacha or is it a chumra? If it's called the halacha, then when you do it, you're accomplishing something significant. And when you accomplish something significant, that is called a tikkun. That is called a tikkun mana on Shabbos, which is also mishum baina. Anytime you are misakin, for example, you're not going to be tovel a kli on Shabbos. What are you doing? Why not? Why can I take a utensil and immerse it in the mikvah? I have a brand new utensil. I bought it from a guy. I forgot to be tovel it. I want to use it on Shabbos. I want to put it in the mikvah. What's so terrible? What am I doing already? No, it's an Isser Derabanan of Tikkun Mana. It's not a physical Tikkun, it's a spiritual Tikkun. So when you have a piece of meat, and the piece of meat, you have to peel off the ends of the piece of meat because they came in contact with non-kosher. Why am I peeling off the end? If I peel it because that's the halacha, it says, Beferish and Chamin Ramon, you must do this Tikkun Mana. You're accomplishing something significant. That's Tikkun Mana. It's like being totally clean in the mikvah on Shabbos. But if the only reason why you need to klifa is not its nikkur, there's only a chumra, it's only a hider, you're not really being a sakin, then he holds the Prima Gadim says you can be makel and you can do it on Shabbos. The Ayin b'mincha Shabbos. Shehiv b'sefer ha'chaim. Shechil gav Prima Gadim v'chosav te'afil davar nesa midina. It's mutwa. Here's the Yisrael because it's noticeable. I feel like I'm mutl kav b'Shabbos yondim dekev in the nikra isra v'heter meikaro lehavi gra kimafrit zem mizev lehavi kimisakin. Misakin is when it's invisible. When the part that you are removing is something which is invisible, that is a greater form of tikkun. The utensil needs to be put in the mikvah. You can't see tumah. Tumah is invisible. When you put in the mikvah, until now the keli was unfit, now the keli is fit, that's called tikkun. But when you have a piece of meat, there's a klifa and there's a panim, and I'm separating the klifa from the panim. It's something which is nikkur, so before I even do it already, before I even separate the two, one from the other, it's already nikkur, the part that's us, the part that's mutter. So he holds that you can be makel, and it's not in the category of misakin, and it's mutter, heter. Okay, that is the issue of kashering, but certainly now do I, what? Boyer, so in Echanami would be boyer, so you have to take off a little bit. When you take off the cleaver, you take off a little bit of the you take off a little bit of the good also. You don't just take the cleaver, you take a small amount, like when it came to the fly. Like it came to the fly, you take off a little bit of the soup. With the fly, you take a little bit of the soup as well. Halacha chaf zayin. Kol davar sheyishol also lasoisei also gamkin aidei ein yehudi. Now we're going back to sugi. We spent a lot of time on this. Amir liyakim. Amir liyakim on Shabbos is also midrabanan for three reasons. What is a chazara? What are the three reasons? Shaluchai shal adam kimaisai. If a guy does it, it's like I did it. A guy is my agent, as if I did it. I was the most scary thing. Like I was Michal Shabbos. I tell the guy to do it. It's like I did it. I get credit. Number two, the daber davar. You're not allowed to tell a guy to do it on Shabbos because by telling him to do something on Shabbos, it's not in the spirit of Shabbos. I am instructing a guy to be Michal Shabbos. My instructions bring about Michal Shabbos. That's a violation. What it says in Navi, the daber davar on Shabbos, your words have to be holy. And the third reason is the third is it's uvda d'chol. It is okay. How can I forget this? Is that the reason of the chol? You're accomplishing something that would get something along the lines of Udu Dukhal. And there may be nafkamina. So here we're coming to some of those nafkaminas, and this is a halacha. You have non-Jewish help at home. Anyone who's fortunate to have non-Jewish help at home on Shabbos. And now they start cleaning the dishes. Do you have to tell them, what are you doing? It's Shabbos. Now let her do this on Shabbos. So basically, you don't have to tell them anything. If they're going to have to anyway do it when Shabbos is over, they're doing it for their own advantage, you pretty much don't have to tell them not to do it unless it's very noticeable or unless they put on the dishwasher and it makes a lot of noise. If it doesn't make that much noise, it could be that it's even mutter. I don't know. I haven't seen dishwashers in a long time. They make a lot of noise. The new ones, they make a lot of noise now. They're very quiet now. Depends. What? Depends. I recently got an air conditioner, and I went online, and you know, you go crazy today. There's a billion air conditioners. So my number one conditioner should be quiet. To be quiet, shouldn't make any noise. So cool, that's not an issue. It's more important. It's more important. It should be quiet and make a lot of noise.
Okay.
They have made advances. There are there are air conditioners. What? What? What?
They go the double.
They break it apart. Right. They do two parts. Right. That's a new technology. New technology like these events. No more vents anymore. All the buildings now, they just put in fans, and they have pipes to outside. That's the new technology. Okay, they had in Chaim Berlin, someone in Chaim Berlin 2 years ago, the air conditioner from them, when they put in the building, was already a big problem. So they need to replace the units. It cost a hoin raf to replace the units. So it was cheaper, it was like a fraction of the price to rip out the whole ceiling and put in these things, these new little gizmos with the pipes, then replacing the old units because everything has changed. Technology keeps on changing. Kol davar sheyisrael osu la'saisa gamkein al yidei em yehudi, it's also to a guy. Now here is the issue. Here it gets very tricky. We all know that one major exception to Amir Liakum is heat and air conditioning. Hakol choylem eitzel hatzinov yapachem. We are extremely sensitive to the environment. The Chazal did not enact Amir Liakum when it came to air conditioning and heating. Even though they didn't have air conditioning, but it falls in the same category. You're allowed to tell a guy, if it's very uncomfortable to tell a guy, you're allowed to tell him to turn on the heat and tell him to turn up the air conditioning. That is the... So here, this is what the issue is. The guy is going to turn on the heater because it's very, very hot. And in the process, you might as well have him also heat up the food. Okay, before we get to the dish, we'll come into a few moments, he's also going to heat up things that are... He's going to do some cooking for you on Shabbos. But when he's turning on the oven, he's not turning on the oven. His kavan is not to turn on the oven to warm up things, to warm liquids, which would normally be usur. We're not dealing only with solids, which you can do yourself. We're talking about warming up liquids, which would be also because of bishul, because of you're not allowed to recook liquid on Shabbos. But he's only turning it on because of heating, because it's cold. So maybe here we can get a bonus. Once already he's turning on the oven because he's doing it to warm up the house, we can already have him put the food on that stove, that furnace, and heat up, cook for us on Shabbos as well. Let's see. So called of a shay shalosalasubi in the wintertime. Kevin said Shumutam Lahasik Tatana. It's mutter to tell a guy to turn on the oven on Shabbos. Kidei Lhames Abais, Aiday in Yehudi, that we learned because it's a sakana. Mayhagin, so the kids are right, so this was the custom this time. They made use of this legal loophole. Mayhagim Shaini Yehudi Mamida Sataf Shilin. Shenit Stanu Alatanur. He would heat up cold soup. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to put cold soup on an oven today. That's a no-no. A liquid that cools down, that's aser. He took tafshilin, shenitzanu, alatanu. They would tell the guy to put the soup on the oven, koidem shumasiko, before he turns on the furnace to heat up the house. The achar kein masiko. Now here's the lumnus. The cave on since. Amir liakum, to warm up food is bishul. You can't tell a guy to cook for you on Shabbos. That's clearly a no-no. Also, that Amir Liakum, that's category number one. Amir Liakum. But to tell a guy to on the oven is mutter. So let me tell him to put on the oven, and then they'll have a side benefit that is also heating up the food for me. Shalom Aleichem. Okay, incredible chiddush. Now here is what very important you say. This also takes into account. He discussed this in one of the footnotes at great length. We discussed this idea of liquids of ein bishul achar bishul. What happens if you have a cup of water, hot water, and it was boiling hot? And now it has cooled down. And now you want to re-cool it on Shabbos. You want to reheat it on Shabbos. What is the halacha? Do we apply the rule of ein bishul achar bishul? Right? Just like when it comes to a solid, it's 100% water to take a solid, a piece of kugel that has no liquid, no juice, no fat, and to reheat it on Shabbos, as long as you're not doing it derech bishul, to put it near on a keder al gabe keder, to put it on top of a pot, and it's going to reach a temperature of yatsa ledes. It's going to become burning hot, but I'm not going to put it directly on the fire. I'm going to put it on a pot, kedera al gabe kedera, so it's shaloi kederech bishul. It's mutar lechatchila because ein bishul achar bishul. But what's the limit? The limit? Only solids. Liquid, if the liquid was never cooked and you put it on top of a pot and it becomes yatz ledes, deraisa. It's mamish and iso deraisa. Making a liquid become yatz ledes even on the top of a pot is an iso deraisa. But if the liquid was already cooked and now it cooled down to room temperature in the refrigerator and I recook it, big shayla. Halacha l'maisa, we paskin, it's usser. But it's only usser midrabana. Because since the liquid was already once cooked, even though now it has returned to room temperature, it's only usser midrabana. It appears that's what he's telling you over here in this halacha. You see, that's the matter of all the paskin, is the koyach of a paskin is to put together all of the leniencies to paskin the halacha l'kula. Here he starts off haftaf shilin shenit staninu. He's not dealing with solids, because if he's dealing with solids, it would be mutal l'chatchil to put on the oven. That's not a shiloh. The furnace is not where you cook. The furnace is here at the house. So he's dealing over here with liquids. And liquids, you're not allowed to reheat no matter what. But he's saying here you're allowed to mamides hatav shilin shenit stanu. It was already cooked.
The chicken soup.
So it was already cooked. L'chatchila, you're not allowed to cook it a second time. But since the goy is not turning on the oven primarily for recooking the liquid, he's putting on the oven for the purpose of warming the house, which is mutar l'chatchila, m'liyakom, and the liquid was already cooked and it cooled down, so it's not anyway nisr deraisa. So that is why now we can be lenient and let the goy put the cold chicken soup on the oven, on the furnace, and light up the furnace, and in the process we're going to have hot chicken soup for Shabbos morning. Would he say the same thing if the chicken soup was never cooked? We're going to have him make the chicken soup for the very first time. L'chor, that's already pushing it. That's already you're going
it's
to.
What? It's got to be a tana for a sukkah. It can't be a tana for bishul.
Right, because right, it has to be. Well, right, it has to be a tana for a sukkah, not for bishul. Right, right.
What does the guy have to do first? Move the thermostat up to 8. Put the chicken soup first.
Because if he turns up the thermostat, why are you putting the chicken soup here now? You're only doing it to cook. If he puts the chicken soup before they turn up the furnace, they turn up the thermostat, so then he has not done anything. At this moment in time, the mice are putting the kedera on the oven. He has accomplished absolutely nothing. Now when he turns up the heat, primarily I'm turning up the heat because we're freezing in this room. Then the side benefit is it's also going to cook, it's also going to warm up the food. But if you turn up the thermostat, you already have done the malacha. Now putting the food on the fire is purely just, I'm really akum for cooking, for warming up food, which would be problematic. The cave and shayna tachavay vasek is. I don't know. Yeah. What? I've ever seen a guy do what? Turn heat up food? They do even worse than this. You've seen it all happens all the time in shuls where they come in the morning and the warmer for the chalent, for the kiddush, the plug isn't pulled out. And they ask the rabbi Shaila and he always says, "Oi, mikra din it's awesome, but because pikuach nefesh." I'm not joking. It's a hefsek meruba and oinik Shabbos, and there's going to be so much tsar to the balei simcha. Go get a guy. The guy will put the plug back inside. Happens all the time. What? What?
In other words, have you ever seen the two acting? Yes.
No, first put the chicken in the
heat. They do even worse.
Not the heat.
The heat.
In this example, he's turning up the furnace.
We had that.
He's dealing with an old-time furnace.
Old-time
furnace that would heat up the house. And in those days, you would also use the furnace that would give warmth to the house also as a means of heating up food.
We had that every week in the office. They put the food on the radiator.
Yeah.
The guy came in, turned on the thing.
Turned on the radiator, and yet had food. So that's exactly what it says over here. And the food was already cooked. I'm assuming the food was already cooked. A lot of the heterim in this situation where they see this also very big heterim when they come on one if I have a kiddush and the warmer is unplugged, even though there's liquid, it's moist, it was already cooked from before Shabbos. So the soinech on that you're not, it's not, it's ain bishul achar bishul. Doesn't matter. You're warming up liquid. Warming up liquid over the temperature of yahad tzlitz. It does not matter how you accomplish. Even if it's not, even if it's electric, even if it's not fire, it still can be, if it's real liquid, it's nisu deraisa, it's bishul deraisa. If you have regular water, you plug in a water heat, what are they called? The urn. You plug in it and you turn it on Shabbos and Lacha Deraisa. You're heating up water above the temperature of Yad's lettuce boat through electricity. It's in the Lacha Deraisa. Doesn't make a difference. But if the water was already cooked and now we went down below room temperature, it is lechatchila usur to do again. But b'shas hatchak, this is what he says. Or simply put in the footnotes, b'shas hatchak, we make use of this halacha that since there are many rishonim that hold ein bishul achar bishul afil b'davar lach. By water, and now there's a tzarech, a hefsid meruba, there's a tzarech, you can tell a guy to, or like in this example, to reheat liquid that has cooled down. Yeah.
Growing up.
Yeah.
Remember the concept of Shabbos?
A Shabbos?
Shabbos guy.
Shabbos guy.
I will tell you that they were the Shabbos guy.
Yeah.
It's Shaloi Kedin. A lot of the thing being a Shabbos guy is Shalamish 100% Shaloi Kedin. Amiro La'akum is usher for three reasons. Shluchai shal Adam kimaisa. You tell a guy to do it, it's like you did it. That's so that's the heter. That's what you have to always look at. So one heter is, I didn't tell you to do it. You're not my agent. You're acting on your own. You're acting on your own. The daber daber. What?
Eating up food. There was a guy that knew.
He knew what to do.
That was his job.
He knew what to do. What's
the duties?
He knew what to do.
Only an unusual.
11 o'clock. Come on.
The Hef said the only time you're allowed.
Put on
the oven. He turned on the oven.
He knew what to do.
He turned on the oven to cook.
To heat up whatever.
To reheat, it's I have to in every situation. It's not right. It doesn't seem to be right. This is the way it was. I don't know. Okay. They were very, very lenient. A lot, over the years, you've heard many Rabbanim come out very strongly against our laxity in Amir Eliyakim. He did a very great service. He was the first book that he put out. The first one was about Neir Shabbos. The second book, this goes probably like 25 years ago, was Amir Eliyakim. He put out an entire book on one of his, I think he has 7 or 8 books now. They're putting it in a slipcase. The advertised article, they just put out the Or of Shabbos, is Amir Eliyakim. And I remember when it came out, he shook up a lot of people. People took it for granted. Amir Eliyakim, do whatever you want. It's not so simple. It's only, Rabbi Moshe might say, everything has to be, you know, in shuls, Moshe didn't like clocks, but you're not allowed to have, you're not allowed to rely upon a system where the guy will come and turn on the lights. That's not proper. A shul lechatchila should have clocks. And you also have to have a guy, because it's always going to happen, the clock's not going to go on. Or clocks are going to malfunction. He was against clocks for air conditioners. He was against clock, not for lights. Lights, he said it. I've arrived on the scene too late. If it was up to me, I would not allow lights either. Yeah, he was against clocks also. You're right. So according to Moshe, you have to leave the lights on the whole Shabbos. He would prefer to leave the lights on the whole Shabbos. He felt that he was Rav Moshe, all this Piskei Tshuva, a theme which goes through everything he writes, was extremely sensitive to Zilzal Shabbos. And people say it's because it was the reaction he had to blatant Chil Shabbos that he discovered in the streets when he came to America. If you don't have a generator and you write a Sefer Torah, alright, he said other things. Don't take everything it says there so seriously.
What?
You're not allowed to talk. I'm telling you to be Mechal Shabbos, that's a zilzal of my speech. To tell a guy, even if he's not, just to tell him to do it a malacha, that's a disgrace to Shabbos. And also, it's over the dechol. It's weekday. It's not Shabbosic. It's over the dechol. I want to finish malacha.
If the air conditioner is not working well, the rabbis turn.
You're allowed. When it comes to cold and heat, is an exception to Amirul Yaakov. Anything involving climate control. Climate control is an exception to Amirul Yaakov. Extreme climate control. I don't mean going from 72 to 73. I'm talking about going from 60 to 70. When you have a shaila, just a little bit cold over here. It all depends. Okay, let's finish this halacha litzub shida shein. Okay, let's go over here. Davka shiyamir akodim. Let's see the second line. We'll see the top line. The kevon shein akavon ba'asoka zos lechames atavshilin el lechames abayis yeish matirin. Okay, so there's a very powerful yisoy that you have a legal little. Davka shiyamir akodim ba'asoka, like we said, first. Because in that first, you light the hasaka, he lights up the shayamid koyim. He has to put the pot on the furnace before he turns on the furnace. The ulayachakach. Oop, shita. Shemein akavon be hasaka b'shul abayis. The goal was without saying that if you're just trying to take advantage to beat the system, and you don't need the room is comfortable, and the only reason why the guy is coming in is because you want him to warm up the soup. The challenge, upshita, she'im ein hakavon ba'asaka b'shul abayis ela b'shul atavshilin v'adei osa b'chol inyan. That is osa. V'yesh oishem afilu makavon hu b'shul l'chames abayis. Some are machmer, some don't like taking advantage. You're not allowed to take advantage of the situation to tell the guy to put the pot on the furnace and then light up the furnace for your cold. V'yafal pichein v'yafal pishah minik ha'matirin v'minik ha'olim is to be matir. We're very lenient when it comes to Amir Yaakov. Kolmokam kol bal nefesh yeish loy lahachmer alatzma b'mokam shein sham tzorach kol kach umikol shekein beoisay tanur barzel hoisim levash aleim tomel these ovens tanuri barzel. Even though we use it for heat, that's not the primary purpose of the oven, is not for warming the house. That was just the oven. Until now we were discussing an oven, a furnace that was meant for heating the house. Secondary, they use it for warming food. But if you have something which primarily is used for cooking, and you use it as also to warm the house, that is certainly that's also not such a good idea. That's certainly then the primary reason why he's turning on the oven. He's doing it in order to cook. He's not doing it to heat up the house. So then the kavana is for the wrong thing. Someone's yorei shemayim should stay away from playing, for looking for excuses. Okay, easier said than done. When you're really in trouble, you need the guy to come and bail you out. Anyone know the feeling? Okay, we will stop over here. Take a 2-minute break.